when a German Shepherd mix kept trying to play fetch with bones she brought home from somewhere in the neighborhood, her owners were certainly more than a little puzzled. But when she then showed up with a human skull with a hole in it, things got a little more serious. This is the story of Curtis Taylor Jr. and the little dog who kept bringing his bones home from the woods. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. I started following this story a few months ago when an article caught my eye in the sidebar while I was researching another case. A dog kept bringing home human bones, and the owner was, you know, understandably weirded out by it. Paulina Mejia was new to the neighborhood in Center Point, Alabama, near Birmingham. In August 2024, her husband, who owns a home remodeling business, was working on their house and had their dogs out in the yard with him. They were sniffing around the area, as dogs are wont to do, when 2-year-old German Shepherd mix Chicharine came trotting over with nothing less than a human skull with a gunshot wound to it. The authorities searched the area but found nothing else suspicious. After a DNA test was performed, confirming that the skull was from a black male, no match was found in the national database. Obviously, it was really strange, but what more could they do? Then a few months later, on December 12th, the dog came home with a long bone, though investigators couldn't be sure that it was human at first. Of course, it was. A human tibia bone belonging to an adult. It would take up to a few months to conduct a DNA test to see if the bones came from the same person, though. In the meantime, the police looked into missing persons cases that might possibly line up with these recovered bones. The thing was, they weren't even sure exactly where the bones were coming from at this point. The authorities tried talking to dog owners in the neighborhood, asking about their pets' roaming patterns, but it wasn't any help. Then in March of the following year, the medical examiner's office announced that the bones were from the same person. Although they didn't know who that person was, multiple missing persons cases had, at the very least, been ruled out. Law enforcement finally put a tracker on Chicharine to see exactly where she was going, and while wearing that tracker, she found another bone, a femur, in April. The coroner said that even though they had Chicharine's major hotspots located through GPS, searches of those areas gave them nothing new to go on. In August 2025, Chicharine brought home another bone and left it in front of Paulina's vehicle so she would see it before she went to work. Paulina said she was very proud of her dogs for helping to uncover this mystery, but she wondered who could have possibly thought that they'd get away with hiding a body. According to the local coroner, the victim had been dead for only weeks or possibly months before Chicharine first discovered the skull. Paulina said, "It's really important for him, that person, whoever it was, to be found and family members can claim him. We don't know how long he's been missing for or who it is." This time, when the sheriff's office searched the wooded area across the street where Chicharine was known to hang out, they found more bones, and apparently a lot of them this time. They were getting closer. But people online started to joke that maybe Paulina's dogs were the killers, or maybe she and her husband were. In a sad turn of events, Paulina's husband wasn't home to see this last bone found because he was carted off by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, in early August. Paulina is from Texas, but her husband is from Honduras and has been waiting on his green card. ICE pulled him over while he was driving to work, and he was sent to a detention center in Louisiana. Paulina says she's never even been outside of the U.S. and hopes her husband won't be deported, but in the meantime, she's caring for their 1-year-old alone. I'd be curious if this situation came about because the family was on the police's radar for, you know, bones being in their yard, but I hope it's just a coincidence. Either way, the owner of these bones was finally identified in December 2025. His name was Curtis Taylor Jr., a 25-year-old visually impaired man who'd been missing since February 2024. The coroner said DNA and dental records helped lead to his identity, so I wonder if someone finally made the connection and suggested that authorities test something of his and try to match it to the bones. In February 2024, Curtis was living with his mom in the Centerpoint area, but said he was going to go spend some time at his dad's. Obviously, she just assumed that that's what happened. But when she didn't hear from him for a couple of weeks, she called his cell phone and it went straight to voicemail. His dad said he had never shown up at all. His family talked to the police and searches were conducted, but nothing ever panned out. What was interesting to me was that the news kind of reported this as, "We figured it out, guys. We know who the bones belong to." But I'm like, the skull had a gunshot wound, so this is very far from figured out in my mind. Curtis graduated from the Alabama Institute for the Deaf and Blind in 2017, and although he was legally blind due to glaucoma, he did have some vision. His mom said he probably suffered from depression because his sight had been getting worse. And this wasn't the first time he'd gone missing. Curtis left home for a couple of days without telling anyone once before and went to Talladega, where the Institute for the Deaf and Blind is. His mom said he was trying to go be with people who understood what he was going through. She worries that Curtis might have been feeling like a burden because he was raised to be so independent, but had been losing his ability to take care of himself as his sight got worse. He couldn't drive, so she thinks there's a chance someone might have picked him up. A teacher at his school described Curtis as a big teddy bear whom so many people loved.
Curtis is a big teddy bear. Then and even now, I cannot talk to anybody that does not love Curtis. To know that literally this young man that I have known and watched and that so many people love, his remains were brought up by a dog. And that a dog had been, and of course, chewing on this young man, it broke my soul.
This teacher said Curtis would never hurt anyone. He would never hang out with anyone who would want to hurt anyone. And she didn't understand who would want to hurt him. She asked someone to come forward if they know anything and said, "Don't be afraid to stand up for Curtis, because Curtis would have stood up for you." Curtis's mom lived on the same block where his bones were found, just a few feet away, so it seems like he never made it far from home. So I'm really surprised he wasn't the first missing person law enforcement thought of when the bones were found, you know? Another interesting piece of the puzzle is that the coroner said the person had probably been dead for weeks or maybe months, but Curtis disappeared in February 2024, and the skull bone was first found in August that year, which I would say is more than just maybe months. But who knows, maybe the coroner was just mistaken. I'm going to continue to follow this case, and I do hope more comes of it. It started out as this kind of kooky thing, like, there goes Chicharine with a human femur in her mouth again, that darn dog. But then you remember that a human person once owned those human bones. The amazing thing is that in a December 2025 article, People.com reported that the police told them the case has not been classified as a homicide at this time. So it sounds like they believe Curtis may have taken his own life, which makes this case all the more devastating. Not only because I hate to think about Curtis feeling like a burden to anyone, but also because all of the time his family thought he was missing, he might have almost been in their own backyard. In another very sad turn of events, Chicharine was hit by a car and has died since making her last discovery. I hope she has all the bones she could ever want in doggy heaven. Just hopefully not human ones.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.